Teddy, be brave.
It's just like pulling off a Band-Aid. A one, and a two, and a...
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Milkshakes Markets Madness. My name is John Kutzmita. I'm joined here with my friend Brent Johnson, the man behind the Dollar Milkshake Theory. That's an unusual or unknown idea to you. Check out our YouTube channel. At the top, there is a playlist that says Start Here. Take you down that rabbit hole. And you'll also notice all of our shows have unique segments and thumbnails to match those segments. So once you find some content that resonates with you, you can go consume and binge as much as just that type of conversation that you're looking for. So we make it easy for you in that way. This is our peak of the week episode where we look at kind of the economic calendar, the week ahead. We don't sit there and nitpick every little item. What we do kind of share some of the things that we're watching and maybe give you a broad overview on what's most important to us. So Brent, you know, it's unknown at this point when we are recording this, whether or not we're going to have a government shutdown. What's interesting about that is because we might not get any of this data, but outside of that being the case, this is normally one of those super important weeks where we have a ton of employment information.
Yeah, so, you know, we address this a little bit on our regular show, but to me, it's just kind of par for the course with this whole year. Is like, so far, nothing really bad in the year's happened. We had a couple of volatile weeks, you know, in March with the banks. And over the last couple of weeks, we've had a little bit of volatility. But for the most part, it's been a fairly quiet year. It doesn't feel quiet, but when you look at the markets, it's been, you know, things have kind of trended up and to the right. Why I think it's interesting now is because I think it's finally starting to dawn on people that perhaps the Fed isn't going to pivot quite as quickly as they previously thought, and perhaps rate cuts are not right around the corner as many people thought. And as such, the data that comes out is more important than it typically is, because the, you know, what the Fed does next is quote unquote dependent on the data. And now, you know, we're getting into kind of a data heavy time period, and we may have the government shut down and not even be able to get the data. And we're in kind of this seasonally typical time of the year where things do typically get more volatile. And we haven't had a lot of volatility yet this year. So I just feel like it's just kind of par for the course. And I'm kind of repeating myself, but you know, normally this would be a week that has a lot of data, and maybe they'll have a deal come out in the next 24 hours and everything will proceed the way it typically does. It is kind of interesting to have an important data week in a week where we may not even get the data.
Well, let me zip through some of this so we don't leave people in the dark, at least what the schedule looks like. We have some manufacturing data coming out on Monday. Tuesday is the JOLTS jobs opening statistics and report. That's always an interesting one in terms of what kind of labor market slack there is. You know, it's, if you don't have a lot of job openings, then you're potentially going to have more pressure on wages, which is inflationary. Wednesday, we have the ADP employment, kind of like a precursor to smoke before the fire of the Friday NFP non-farm payroll employment data. But the ADP does kind of get the market stirring a little bit. And then Thursday, we have jobless claims and challenger job cuts information. The jobless claims are an interesting one because for so long, all year long, when the asset prices weren't cooperating with maybe the Fed's objective and certainly the narrative around when the Fed hikes and they hike aggressively, you know, there's something breaks and we have recession. And the jobless claims just weren't corroborating that. We weren't seeing unemployment tick up. And even just recently, we're now seeing a trend in the opposite direction. So it'd be interesting to see if there's any kind of signs of recession or, you know, stress in the labor market with this week's jobless claims. And then, of course, Friday, we have the non-farm payroll. Now, what is interesting, I want to get your thoughts on here, is, you know, so much of how the market responds, when I say the market, things like stock prices, indexes, et cetera, responds to the employment data, obviously is kind of trying to get ahead of how the Fed is going to respond, but it's based on expectations. And what's interesting about this upcoming report is the expectations are relatively low, 170 number. We've been kind of hanging around the 200,000 and above for most of the year whenever we're getting the NFP report. So do you feel like with a softer expectation, even something like a 180, gives a little bit of a shock to the market. The market responds in a more overly hawkish way simply because it beats expectations.
Well, possibly. And here's kind of why, is that if you look at the trend of the data, let's just say since June, right? And especially since July when the Fed paused, because in July, you know, it was a question of whether they were going to hike or not. They didn't hike. They kicked it down the road and they said, we still see two more hikes later this year, but it's going to be data dependent. And over that time period, when the data generally came out okay, and whether it came out a little bit hawkish or even a little bit dovish, the market tended to react to it, as I would characterize it, fairly dovishly. The market would hold up pretty well. And I think the reason was because the data wasn't super hawkish or super dovish. It was somewhat in line. It might have beat a little bit. It might have missed a little bit. But it was in general pretty close to expectations. But because the expectations of the market were that the Fed was done and the rate cuts were probably coming in 2023, I feel like the market would, regardless of what it did initially, you know, within the first 20 or 30 minutes, it would eventually kind of shrug off whatever concerns and kind of drift higher. But I kind of feel like in September that started to shift a little bit. And I don't think the data changed a whole lot. In other words, some of the data would come in and it would miss a little bit. Some of the data would come in and it would exceed a little bit. But whereas it would initially, you know, maybe sell off and then rally, it felt to me, and maybe I'm just seeing things, but it felt to me like it might initially pop or rally a little bit and then kind of sell off a couple hours or a couple days later. And we kind of had a little bit of that on Friday as well. On Friday, we had some economic data come out and it slightly missed. It was slightly dovish, not dramatically, but just slightly. And the market was up big in the morning. But by noon, it had kind of given away the gains. And by the end of the day, the market, they weren't down a lot, but they were down. So they had given, and that was another example of where, you know, and I think it's because there's no longer that expectation, or at least not as high of expectation it used to be, that these rate cuts are right around the corner. And we've still got this other rate hike or potentially two rate hikes in front of us. And again, it's waiting for the hike is probably more of a hindrance to the market than the hike itself, right? It's like ripping the Band-Aid off. It's a lot of times better if you just rip it off and get it over with, but it's thinking about it that drives you crazy. And so, you know, every time now I feel like every time there's a little bit of a rally in the back of people's minds, they're like, well, are they really going to cut? Or are they really going to skip again? And I think so far, Powell and, you know, the Fed language has been hawkish enough to at least give people pause. And so that's why to your point, if we get something that beats, even if it's only a little bit, and even if, you know, expectations have come down, you know, maybe initially it pops, but I just kind of feel like I don't see the market, unless something changes, and something can always change in the markets. Unless something changes from here, I don't see the market really running away higher into the end of the fourth quarter.
Sounds more like violently sideways to me. I mean, that's
violently
kind of
sideways. We've talked about that so often.
It's definitely been a 2023 theme. And what's maybe become a fourth quarter theme is something you mentioned on this past weekend's full length episode, which is that the markets maybe have are on bended knee to this silent narrative that the Fed and Powell has created that maybe they're not going to cut as soon as we have thought. So that's kind of an interesting storyline to reinforce here, in that especially when you talk about in various episodes we've done last week, playing the man versus playing the hand. And we always preface, like, we're not a fan of central bankers, but when you consider the objective that they've had and the tools that they've had, which is primarily jawboning and various forms of forward guidance, if the Fed has finally cooled the animal spirits and got people second guessing, at least right now, you got to mark this roundup to them. But we'll see, you know, like we mentioned at the start, it's It's a recording we're doing prior to the end of the weekend, so we don't know what the government shutdown outcome is going to be. So we might not even get the data, but if we do get the data, hopefully this episode has given you some context on what we're going to be looking for and what we potentially think could happen, and we hope that brings you some value. So thanks for joining us. This is Milkshakes Markets Madness. My friend Brent Johnson here can be found on Twitter at SantiagoAUFund. I can be found at John Kutzmita. You can find the show on YouTube at Milkshakes Pod, on Twitter at Milkshakes Pod, and wherever else you want to try to hunt us down at Milkshakes Pod. And we look forward to having you join us on future episodes later this week. Thanks, everybody. This show is provided for entertainment and informational purposes only. It should not be relied upon as legal, business, investment, or tax advice. Neither the hosts, guests, nor any funds they may manage intends to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies.